All right, good morning. Welcome to Ray Christian Fellowship. My name is Paul Karras. I'm the senior pastor here, and I just want to say I appreciate if you're visiting, worshiping with us today, and I really hope that we can connect after the service. Today is actually a national day in which we recognize the sanctity of life, and traditionally churches around our country will talk about this, and some won't. But it's a day that we recognize nationally on the calendar, and it goes back to, as you guys know, the ruling Roe versus Wade in 1973, where there was voted on a constitutional right for abortion, and we also know that that has changed, obviously, this last year, and this subject, obviously. Is talking points for a lot of different political reasons across the aisle, across the country. It garners strong reactions one way or the other. And I think all this I can say without being controversial here in church, I think this is just the honest truth. We live day by day. We have these conversations. We see how people react. And I think it's just a part of just the dialogue here in our country right now. And so, you know, we're in a series right now in the book of Proverbs. And so I'm not taking a break or anything from Proverbs. And so I'm not focusing necessarily on the sanctity of life. But what I would like to say is this, that Proverbs, as we're in this book, I think has a lot to say when it concerns making life decisions. And if we're paying attention to the words of Scripture, I think it will help inform, at least this is what I'm hoping for as we go through the book of Proverbs, it will help us make hard decisions. It will help us, when we get to those forks in the road, to know what to do. And that's really kind of the whole emphasis of this series that we're in. And so again, whether it's an issue of abortion or sanctity of life, we believe Scripture talks to these things, and it helps educate us. And so, as a pastor, I can tell you, as your pastor here at this church, my biggest concern is that Jesus is preached. It's the number one thing. I'll be honest with you. I think sometimes we as churches, we run after symptoms and not root causes. And although sometimes the symptoms that we run after aren't a bad thing, it comes at the expense of elevating Jesus to the position he should be in. And so, this is my position. I believe conviction and change happens in people's lives once they have that relationship with Jesus, because we are promised the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to guide us into truth, is to convict us, and to mature us and grow us and move us. And so this is why I say for us as a church, the loudest thing I want people to hear coming out of here is the love of Jesus. And not to say these other things aren't important. And just to make sure I'm clear and you're clear about where I stand on things, I value life. I value the sanctity of life. The unborn, the born. I value the person who's going to scream in my face and tell me I disagree with you and I can't stand you. Because I could bite on that and I can go running after that, but I'm constantly asking the question, what is this person's greatest need? For me to tell them how wrong they are because of how much I think I'm right? That's not what they need. Jesus says you can gain this whole world, but if you forfeit your soul, then what? Then what? Nothing. And so again, I value life, and I'm a firm believer on it. And today, you know what? This might be a great day. One of the missions that we support locally is Life Choices. It's right in Montrose. Again, this is a center that comes along women who have to make hard decisions in their life. And they walk alongside them in that decision process. Maybe it's a great day to go by their website get reacquainted with this missions that we support. Maybe make a donation. I don't know where your heart lies on that. But again, my prayer is that as we get into any passage, any scripture in church, that we would allow, with the work of the Holy Spirit, that it would help change us and mold us into the people that God wants us to be. With that being said, let me pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come here and worship you. God, I really pray that in our worship, you are the greatest thing in our life. And I pray as followers, as disciples of you, that we would show the world what you're like. That is, when people look at us, they don't see us, they see Jesus. As they look at us as a church, they don't see issues that we run after, but they see us running after you. Because you make all the difference. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would value life as you value it. You sent your son to die for us, and we thank you for that. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so just a quick recap if you haven't been here the last couple weeks. I want to look at this. We started out in this the book of Proverbs in week one. We went over a few things. We talked about who wrote Proverbs. Chapter 1 of Proverbs 1 actually lays that out for us very clearly, Solomon. We looked at the purpose of Proverbs. If you go just into the first 7 verses, we get the purpose. And again, this is a summarization to make you mature in faith and life. We talked about the difference between intelligence and wisdom. The fact that you can know things, you can be smart, but not wise. You know? And again, I think that is such an important thing for us here. Because I've been there, I'll confess. There's sometimes I come across as a know-it-all. But that doesn't make me wise. And it doesn't make you wise either. Just because you know things. Wisdom is having the ability to know how to apply what you know in such a way that honors the Lord and moves you in a process of maturity with him. And then we looked at this principle, which really is serving as the foundation for this sermon series, and it's this idea that your direction, not your intentions, determines your destination. And to give full credit, which I didn't on the slide, this is how Andy Stanley, a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, would say this. So, again, and we talked about this. This is a verifiable truth. If like I said last week, if you get on 550 heading north, you're not going to Silverton. It's just the facts of life. And it's the true. We know this to be true when it comes to driving, but then we check our brains at the door and go, well, this isn't true when it comes to other things like relationships and finances and things like that. The truth is, where your feet are pointed, where your heart is pointed, is exactly where you're going to end up in life on all these things. And this was brought out from a passage we looked at in week one from Proverbs 7. And so if you weren't here, go check that out. Week two, we got into this. What do we do if we find ourselves on the wrong path? And so we looked at two key verses that God doubles up in Proverbs. Proverbs 22:3, 27:12. And it says this, the prudent sees danger and hides themselves. Or in another translation, takes refuge, but the simple go on and suffer for it. So the prudent person is the one who says, I see where this is heading and it's not good. And so the prudent person makes changes. They go, we're not going to just keep going and heading for the cliff because we see where that goes. You go off the cliff, you're dead. We're going to stop and we're going to get on a different path. And so we talked about that in light of this verse. So last week I told you that we were going to explore this week, why is it that we have trouble seeing the right paths or getting on the right path? And so we're going to explore that question. And in doing that, we're going to look at Proverbs 3 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, you can open up there. We're going to read the first 18 verses. But again, I am going to invite you to stand as we read the Word of God. If you don't have your Bibles, it will be on the screen behind me, and you can follow along. Let me just quickly pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us in all truth this morning, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would hide nothing from us, and that we would see the value and the wisdom of the words that you are speaking to us through Solomon. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For the length of your days and years of your life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around you, your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing for your flesh and refreshment for your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with your first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves or disciplines him who he loves, as a father and the son in him he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than the gain from silver and the profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. So you may be seated. So we're looking at this question that we're answering this morning. Why do we have a hard time seeing or choosing the right path? And there's a really simple answer to that. The answer is this: we pursue happiness over truth. We pursue happiness, not the truth. And so we look to make decisions as we come at these crossroads based on what makes us feel good. Or how does this play in my advantage? And it's true. I mean, think back to your whole childhood. When I had to make a decision, there is an element of your happiness or how does this work in my favor, which in result works in your happiness, right? We make decisions based on that. And I think this is something that is kind of ingrained in us. You call it sin nature, the flesh, whatever it is, right? The Bible has many words for this. But we go after our own desires. And so we go after these things. Now, I don't think we wake up every morning and go, hey, I'm going after happiness. But as we go through our routines, it's really predicated on our happiness. Think about this morning. You have routines when you wake up. You know what you probably go do. You either take a shower first or you go get your coffee or your breakfast, things like that. You know what time you need to leave for work. You have these things. You know, oh, I'm going to get dressed. You think about what you're going to wear, probably in most sense. You know, no one wants to start the day off looking like a slob. Things like that, unless maybe you work in construction and you don't care. But you have routines. Now think about what happens when your routine is disrupted. It frustrates you. It aggravates you. It's annoying. In essence, you're not really happy. You become unhappy, right? So all we have to do is just think about our morning routines and how they impact the rest of our day. We know how our day goes when things are going right. They have their boxes. We live in boxes, especially for us as guys, you know. But when they get disrupted, man, it's annoying. And equally so, I don't think we also wake up and think, man, I want to be miserable today. You know, I don't want to have a good day. I want to be bored. I can't wait to be grumpy. You know, we don't actively sit here. I can't wait to make a mess of this day. Cell phones interrupting the pastor during sermons. I can say that because it's my wife. So here's what I think happens to us as we make decisions. We come to the fork in the road, and so we have to make decisions about time, work, school, friendships, love interests, purchases, finances, health, and we weigh our options. And most of us always choose the road that feels best to us. Let's be honest. His honesty is the best starting point in moving in truth, right? And here's one other thing we do. Once we choose a path, right, we make a decision, even though we might not be a great path, and that may all be true to us, but as soon as we figure out the path we're going to take, it's amazing how quickly our heart starts and our minds start to figure out and justify the reasons for it. We make a decision, now we got to back it up. And we start justifying. So I was thinking about a couple of things, and I'll be honest, you know, some of these things hit home for me. We trade in our old car, right, because it's a gas guzzler. We say we can't afford the gas for the car, but then after trading, we lay down another $20,000 on a new car. And if we're being honest, if we drive that new model, new car for the next 35 years, it still won't cover the cost of the $20,000 we laid out that if we just kept our old car. But we think about it, we need the new car because the new model is more economical. And so we spend the extra money that we couldn't afford. Or how about this one? Battery on our cell phone just does not last through the day. So what do? We go and look at what's the new iPhone or the new Android. And guess what? Those things cost about $1,000. But we could have spent $60 on a replacement battery. But we say to ourselves, hey, it makes sense. We need the new phone. We're going to get better battery life. And so we rationalize these things. So Solomon writes about this problem almost 3,000 years ago. And here's what he has to say, why people choose the wrong paths, why we have a hard time. And it comes right here in 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Look, Solomon says, when you come to a crossroads in life, your decision has to be made. When a decision has to be made, he basically says, look, trust in the Lord. Ask him. Seek him. Stop making decisions based on what you think you know is right or on your own happiness. Now, I want to be clear about something. I'm not against being happy. I actually enjoy people who are happy. I want to be around those people. Consequently, I don't want to be around people who are annoying and grumpy. But what I want to say to that is there's an order in which we find happiness. And we're going to look at that here. Over the last 20 years, Kim and I have done a number of weddings for former students and friends and things like that. And we always, you know, have marriage counseling. And if you're ever thinking about this, we have 4 sessions that you have to go through before I'll consider marrying you. But one of the things we want to talk about right away with the new couple is, what do they want out of marriage? And almost every time, everybody says, I want a happy marriage. I want to be happy. I don't want a miserable marriage. I think that's, you know, legitimate. I think that's fine. But here's the thing that Kim and I always tell people. If you want to have a happy marriage, have a Christ-centered marriage. Pursue Christ. If you want to have a happy marriage, have a Christ-centered marriage. Don't get those confused or the orders confused. And I think that's what Solomon is saying here. And I think that's what we're gonna find out. So the question for us as followers, what are we pursuing day to day? What are we following or chasing after? What's first in lines of our pursuits? Because this plays a big role of figuring out what the right path is and what the wrong path is. And so Solomon gives us three reasons that we find ourselves on the wrong path. Also, these three reasons show us as to what the right path is. And so how do we know how to choose it? Well, again, it comes out in this verse here. And I want to look at the first one with you here this morning, and it's this. It says, trust in the Lord, right? The starting place for choosing the right path is exactly what it says. Think about this, and all our American currency. The irony thing about that is it's usually the last thing we trust God with. But it starts right there. In God we trust. And so a natural question is, do we? And what does it actually mean to trust God? Well, I put a couple things down here. In every area of life, in every possible path, in every category, God calls us to trust him, which includes our time, our money, relationships, work, passions, gifts, talents, interests, how we relax, and even how we process things like tragedies, death, sadness, and grief. we are to trust God. God wants it all. You know, when I made this decision, and it's kind of cool, Super Bowl Sunday, actually, I don't know if you guys remember this, was the Sunday I interviewed here. It's coming up in a couple weeks. Gave my sermon. We talked about trusting God and the process of for us, what that looked like for Kim and myself and our family as we were getting ready to leave a job that wasn't saying you have to go. I wasn't running for the hills. It was 4 years of praying, God, what comes next? I had been in youth ministry for almost 23 years to that point. And it came down to one question. We kept praying, we kept asking, and we kind of knew the answer. But you know what was holding us back? Do I trust him? This seems crazy. I'm about to leave a job with no other job possibilities yet where I can step onto. No security net. But we had to answer this question, do I trust him? And that meant for finances, my kids, everything. I was about to uproot our whole life. The friendships we established over those years. I mean, my first church was only about an hour and 15 minutes away. I still had all those friendships intact too. I had parents, Kim's family, my family, and we were about to take a step into the unknown simply because we were willing to trust him. That we felt like he was moving in it. We were praying. We were hearing him speak. We felt the Holy Spirit in this. And then you know what? From a logical, worldly standpoint, it made no sense at all. I had people come to me and say, Paul, find the job first. Why would you tell your church you're leaving? Right? I mean, that's kind of the advice we all get. Don't leave a job until you got another one. And we weren't playing by those rules. We were just simply saying, okay, God, we hear you on this. You're telling us to go. We'll go. But I had to. Kim had to. We had to get our heads around the idea. Do we really believe that God will take care of us? Do we really trust him? The answer to choosing the right path is to choose God, to trust God, to go where he asks you to go, to do what he asks you to do, and to do it every day, even in the things we selfishly pursue or desire. Even those things, God says, give those to me. Trust me. And this is not a one-time thing. Guess what? This, I believe, that whole experience somewhere is getting ready to prepare me for something else that God's going to ask me to do. And he might be asking you to get ready to do something. And the question is, do you trust him? So the first step of choosing the right path is putting your whole heart, your trust in him. The second thing that Solomon says is this. He says, do not lean on your own understanding. And man, this is the challenge right here. I mean, this is it. The idea of not leaning on our own understanding, our own heart, and what it says to do or says that is right. Not understanding. This is where the rubber meets the road when it comes to choosing the right path. Yes, there's the trust in God, but then it's not leaning on your understanding. It's pursuing God in finding out what he thinks and not making decisions based on what I think or feel. And you'll hear this. How many times have we either said it to somebody or somebody has said it to us where they say, you know what? Concerning that decision you make, just trust your heart. What is your heart telling you? What is your heart saying? But here's a problem with that. As good as the heart can be, here's how Jeremiah describes the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things. So I don't know if that's the greatest advice to give somebody. Trust your heart. Because this is what I think Jeremiah is saying. I think he's saying, hey, your heart lies. It lies to you. This is why I tell kids in youth ministry, don't make decisions based on fond feelings. Where do I get that from? This verse right here. Your heart lies. Be careful of that. Remember what I said. Why do we find ourselves on the wrong road? Because we pursue happiness over the truth. We pursue feelings over the truth. We pursue happiness because of our own understanding. And the scripture says here, hang on. The heart is deceitful above all things. And so Solomon says, look, when you find yourself at a fork in the road, and not to digress a little bit here, but he doesn't say, no, bring a fork or bring pie. No, he says, look, he says, when you find yourself a fork in the road, don't trust your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Instead, trust God. Seek him out in his decisions you have to make. And it's kind of interesting because Jesus says something similar in the New Testament. And it's found in the Sermon on the Mount. And he says this. He says, look, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Well, if you know the backstory of the verses prior to 33, Jesus is talking about, he acknowledges all these issues that we run after, the things that we worry about, where meals are coming from, things like that. All he says, look, I get that. See, the flowers in the field and the birds in the air, they don't want for things. They just are taken care of. But here's the thing, seek me first. And then that's what he's referring to. All these other things shall be added unto you. There's a process here, again, when it comes to our happiness, and it's being revealed here. He says, if you seek me first, consult with him, follow through with his instructions. He will direct you in the way you should go. And as the passage here in Proverbs says, he'll make our path straight. Look, again, going back to when we moved here, we left North Carolina. That's where my parents had retired, and that was kind of home base for us before we left here. It was a three-day drive. You guys know this. If you've ever driven across country, 10 hours a day, we figured it out. We had to maintain that pace. 10 hours a day, 30 hours of driving to get out here. But the first thing I did was plug the church's address in my GPS because I needed to find how to get here. And to be honest, if you ever use a GPS, there's times where you're going, am I on the right road? I remember we were doing mission work on the Appalachian Trail in West Virginia, and we were leaving the trip, and we had one of the old Garmins and things like that that you had when they first came out, and we're driving 15 passenger vans. We have three vans of people, and next thing we know, we're on this, like, dirt road heading up a mountain because the GPS says, go this way. Guess what it was? It was a logging route that would get you to the road that you need to get to, but it was a logging route. With 15 passenger vans, that doesn't work. And then try to turn a big van around on a slow, you know, a small road. And so there's times where when we put things in the GPS, we're wondering, we're like, are we heading in the right way? When we got to Kansas, we were going through some really rough back roads, country roads. And I was like, is this right? Are we're going to get to Colorado? But then there were other times, man, I was just praying that that GPS didn't quit or lose signal. I was so dependent on that. And so my point in this is that, you know, I think sometimes, you know, people would say, man, wouldn't life be so much easier if I just had Jesus right here? That would be so much easier because then I would know what path to be on all the time. I would know what the right thing to do. And what we're finding out from Scripture this morning is it can be that easy. We can have the presence of God. Guess what? It comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. And it comes in connection or conjecture with his word. And so we can know how to go. It can be that simple. But here's the trick. We need to override the part of ourselves that wants to follow our heart. That's the trick here. And this is the hard part, not leaning on your understanding. God gives us his wisdom, the word, the Bible, and he gives us his Holy Spirit to illuminate the word and to recall it when it comes to the face of decisions. And so when I read, David says in Psalm 119, I've hidden thy word in your heart, in my heart so that I may not sin against you. I don't think it was just strictly for not sinning. I think it was also so that David knew how to get the most out of this life. He knew if he followed the instruction of the word and if he recalled it and he kept it in his heart, it would come out in those moments where he had to make decisions. And with the work of the Holy Spirit, this is how I think it works today for us. This is why we spend time in the book of Proverbs and we read the scriptures or whatever scripture you're in. It has value. I really believe this. Even for the person who's not a big scripture memorization person, I really believe if you're in the word of God, the Holy Spirit will use that in your life. And he'll use it. He'll bring it to life in those moments. And especially if we turn to him for understanding. Two more kernels and pearls of wisdom that Solomon shares with us in this verse. So we got trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean in your own understanding. And in all your ways, acknowledge him, right? So in what ways can we acknowledge God? And I kind of put this question here. Where is it that I haven't been acknowledging God in my life? I think for those who are Christians, the first place we acknowledge God is knowing that we need a Savior. And so we acknowledge the idea. He's standing at the door of our hearts and he's knocking and we let him in. He comes into the foyer or our living room and he's there. But I think for a lot of us, that's where it stops. We were talking about this Tuesday in our men's study about the difference between Jesus as our Savior and Jesus as our Lord. I think we see those terms synonymous with each other, like they mean the same thing, but they don't. Everybody loves the Jesus that saves, but a lot of people don't like the Jesus that wants to be Lord of our life. And so we invite him in, and that's where it starts. But let's think about this. What about the other rooms in our heart? What about the bedroom where all our private thoughts are? What about our computers where we have access to the world? What about the kitchen where he can see what and how much we eat? Have we invited him into our closets where all our secret things are? And so the question is, in what ways do we acknowledge the Lord in our life? Because he doesn't just want part of you, he wants all of you. I have a video I want to show you here. And it's a drama group called One Time Blind. And they usually do these monologues between two or three people. And so I just want to drive this point home with this video. So take a look, listen to the dialogue, and then we'll come back and talk about a couple things. So a couple things when I watch that video, a couple things that I take away. One, we get off the wrong path because we fail to recognize or acknowledge God in certain places of our life. And we're being told here that if you want to be on the right path, it begins in trusting him, not leaning on your understandings, and then this acknowledgement of God in your life. You don't get to take time out. That's not how it works with him. He wants all of you. He wants to be involved in every aspect of your life. And the beautiful thing about that is he's not harsh. He's a gentle God. He loves you, so much so that he would send his son to die for you. That's how much invested he wants to be in your life. And yet, we laugh at that sketch, but the truth is we do it all the time. That's why some of us don't want to put Jesus fishes on our cars. Because we don't want people to know that we're cutting them off and we're Christians. Or we give them the finger and we're Christians. Got back in the box for that moment. We're going to yell at the service guy. We're going to yell at whoever. But got back in the box. Now, God wants access beyond your living room. He wants access into all areas of your life. And I love that they bring this out about the Lord. He says, look, you can't die without him. And if that's true, you definitely can't live without him. And we need to hear this. The proverb says, in all your ways acknowledge him. This is the surest and best way that we can know that we're on the right path. Interestingly, just as Jesus had something to say in the New Testament about not leaning on your understandings, he also has something to say about acknowledgement in the New Testament. And it comes in this verse here, Matthew 10:33. But whoever denies me here on earth, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. That's pretty powerful. And that is pretty sobering to think about. Acknowledgement is a big deal when it comes to being on the right path. Now, this morning, I left the morning Bible study. So, Barry, I'm sorry, but God dropped something on my brain. And so this doesn't have a PowerPoint slide for it, so Josh, don't worry about it. But it was a bonus point, I'm calling it. Because I feel like we need to tie off on this whole idea of happiness. Verses 9 and 10, so go there if you have your Bibles open up. Go back there. I want you to see something here. Solomon says in verse 9, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And when I was preparing for this, I kind of missed the tie-in with the first part of my message, but I really believe Solomon is driving home the point between seeking the Lord first and our desires to be happy. I think this could be a both and. I think, yes, we're called to honor God with our first fruits. I think the directive is clear. But I think you need to zoom out a little bit and see where else are we cheating ourselves in happiness because we're just not going after God first. I don't think there's a misalignment. Yes, Jesus says we'll have troubles in this world and things like that because we live in a broken and sinful world. That's part of the deal. But I do believe God loves us and he cares for us and he knows our needs, and he knows our wants. But he also knows that when you chase after those things first, and he becomes second, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to find yourself on these paths that you don't need to be on. And again, I think he's driving home the point here. That, again, he cares about your happiness. He cares about you. But he wants a relationship, and he wants to be first in that relationship. So just quickly to recap today, why is it hard for us to choose the right path? Because we pursue happiness over truth. How is it that we can find and choose the right path? Trust in God. Do not lean on your own understandings, and in all your ways acknowledge the Lord. And this is how the verse ends, and he will make straight your paths. Well, again, I hope you are receiving what God has to say here. My prayer is that it's working in your life, that the Holy Spirit is maturing it in you. It's helping you to think about ways to apply this. We still have a couple more weeks in Proverbs here, so I hope you come back because we're going to look at the importance of wise counsel in our life. And Scripture has a lot to say about that. And again, I really hope that you continue to read a chapter of Proverbs today because I think it's really important. Be in that word. Even if you're not a big memorization person, be in his word. The Holy Spirit will bring these things back to you. But if you cut yourself off from his word, what is he supposed to recall? Be in the word. And then the last thing, again, I've said this in the weeks past, Find yourself a community. Bible studies. We have one here in the mornings. We have one on Thursday nights with Jan's house. We have one Tuesday morning here for the men. Find community. Or get a bunch of brothers and sisters together and just spend time together in the Word, encouraging one another. It's so important as we think about navigating the different paths in life that we have to make decisions about. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time that we can have together, God. Lord, I am grateful that you are patient with us. But I pray, Lord, it is a process, and that it would be a process, Lord. You don't run ahead and say to us, you need to take care of these things. No, you take us step by step. But it's so important, Lord, that we turn to your word, that we pray for help. Solomon says, it starts with trusting you. And then it moves into seeking after you for understanding your thoughts, your ideas. And then it's this idea in our life acknowledging the relationship that you want to have in the inmost parts of our being. And so that's why I say I am thankful that you are patient. Because, man, we screw this up all the time. And we're not as faithful as we should be. So, Lord God, I am thankful for the wisdom that you share with us. I'm thankful for your patience. I'm thankful for your love and your concern for us. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that everyone here would have an experience with your presence today, tomorrow, and for the months to come. And that that relationship would change us. Inform us into the men and women you desire us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I am I'm going around the circuit right now with some old songs that I love. And so our closing song is going to be a song that's super familiar with a lot of, for most of you, and it's called I Surrender All.